Heavenly Father, I'm grateful to be able to speak again about your holy word. And I'm grateful that I have, or we have, family members, both biological and spiritual, who want to partake from your holy word. I'm asking, God, that you give us the strength that we need, because we really need your strength. There's so much going on in the world, so many different things, dear Lord, that could occupy our time, but you've never shone to be faithful to your holy word. You're just as holy, and we ask that you give us strength to recognize it. We ask, dear Lord, that you cleanse us, to help us to become what it is that you want us to be in this life, so that we can draw nigh to you. I'm asking you for strength for each and every one of us, not to be selfish. I'm asking you for strength to help us to see how precious your word is, that you are a judge, that you are holy, that you are loving, and that you don't change. Give me the strength, Lord, to make sense of what I'm hoping to bring tonight for all of us who are listening. Give us strength. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'll be coming a little bit from the Psalms, a little bit from Matthew, James, and possibly Luke. I'm titling this message tonight, Sincerely Before God. I repeat it. Sincerely Before God. For those who've been listening to the messages from Sundays and Thursdays, we've been talking about various sacrifices in the Passover and how the Lord was giving those people of that time baby steps to get closer to him, and how he would enable them to bring certain sacrifices that represented different things. It's in that respect and that light that I believe my heart has been moved to kind of talk about what I am here just a minute. I tried to do an experiment last week, and this experiment involved a little plant. This plant has called plant chives. And so I brought it home for Naomi, and there's this little bit of dirt, and it's in a container, and we poured water on it. And within about 2 or 3 days, there were little shoots coming up from the soil. And it's very, very thin. It's almost thinner than alfalfa sprouts. And the sprouts have grown up to be about 2 inches now. And we've got this little plant setting in the window of our kitchen. And I noticed one day, actually 2 days, that after the nighttime, the plant seems to lean over as if it's going over the container. And so what I did was I turned that plant so that it was leaning as if it were leaning toward the sink, away from the window. Because I said, I bet the sunlight is going to change the direction of this plant. So lo and behold, that morning before the sun come up, I turned it. When I got home, the plant had leaned up and leaned toward the window, toward the light. So I said, okay, let's check this out again. I turned it the other way so that the plant was leaning again toward the sink. Same thing happened the very next day, and I was just like, wow, this amazes me that God's creation knows how to respond to the light. Now, the title that I've given this is Sincerely Before God. I said, why are you talking about this plant? Go back to what I said. This plant, tiny little plant, knows from whence its source of strength comes from, and we talk about the light of God's word, and sometimes we don't incline ourselves to God's word, even though it might be there, it might be in our midst or so. So I was just thinking about that, and I thought, I'm going to use that one day, so I've used it tonight. How well it transitions into the rest of what I'm talking about, I don't know, but I still think it's something to talk about. We're wanting to draw closer to God in seeking truth, and perhaps those who listen to us. Some of us have even begun to observe the Sabbath, in which we are dedicating specific times, the specific time of our life throughout the week, for the things of God, and to lay down or not be so involved in the things that sometimes crowd our minds. We can often be faithful in giving. We can often even be faithful in coming together or even calling in on the sessions as we are tonight. But what about when it comes down to the crux of where our heart is? What about when it comes down to where our thoughts and so forth are? Do we lean toward the light of God's word, and are we really going to draw nigh to God in everything, not just in a few practices, but deep down to the core of our hearts? We, as the children of God, I'm going to make sure I maintain a tone tonight. It doesn't seem like I'm yelling or fussing because this is just important. We need to be sincere before God because there's no half-stepping, nor is there any hiding anything from him. And so we need to respond to the light. I want to turn to Psalms, the 19th division. And we've looked at part of this, so I will probably reiterate some of it. And then we're going to move on. But I'm hoping and praying that this will cause us to think tonight. I'm looking at the 19th division of the Psalms, and I want to start with the 7th verse here. The 19th division in the 7th verse reads this way: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." So let's look at these a little bit again. Talking about us being sincere before God, and the only way that we will truly be sincere before God is if we look at the word of the Lord and the law that's found in the word of the Lord. Listen at what this says again. The law of the Lord is perfect. David's given us to know that there is nothing lacking in the word of God. He says that this word, his precepts, the doctrine from the teaching that we can find in the Old Testament, starting from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, the words of Christ, the words of the prophet. These words, the doctrine, is given to us not just to read. If we truly are to draw near to God and to be sincere with God, the word of God should, in many cases, shake us up, affect the way that we think about life and our conduct. This law is a doctrine that will guide us into all truth. The law of the Lord is perfect. There is nothing lacking there. But we live in frail bodies, and since the time that Adam sinned, we understand that there is a falling away or a deterioration of all of creation, and we look for that new life that can only be found as a child of God. Yes, his words are perfect, and it's a nourishing unto us that gives life. It says that it converts to the soul. In other words, there are times, that we may have in our life throughout our daily routine where we might not even entertain the word of God, or we might have some kind of thought that will draw us away from what we know to be true. But we cannot afford not to cherish God's word as such, because his word is perfect and will give us all that we need. And we must continue, just like I spoke of, about the plant leaning toward the light of the sun, we must lean toward the truth of God's word because it is perfect. And it's got that Holy Spirit that will get deep down into our soul, because the Bible says that the word of God, it is living. It is quick. It is powerful. It's more powerful than just how we feel about things. It's more powerful than any doctrine that comes from just man alone. God's word meddles in our business and in our thoughts, but it is good and righteous. And it will show us what is wrong, and it will cause us to see what is wrong, and that we can understand that this flesh is depraved. It hence will begin to cause us to want to change for that which is right. It converts. It causes us to lean away from sin and to lean toward righteousness because we know it is true. Lord, have mercy. Is it that you and I can listen to seeking truth? Is it that you and I can come together in a physical or corporate body sometimes and hear? But deep down when there's nobody else around, that we feel like we still can think certain things, say certain things, treat each other any kind of way, and feel that we're still holding on to God's word. We've got to be sincere before God and realize that this is not just practice, not just ritual and being able to hear God's word, talk in conversation, but his word wants to get deep down inside and change our conduct, help us to have a love for him and a love for one another, that we always will lean toward the light of his word, the light of his truth. The law of the Lord is perfect. The plant lean toward the sun. Sometimes we lean the other way. We do. And sometimes there's no one else who knows it. But God knows. Are we really going to draw nigh to God? Are we going to really offer up spiritual sacrifices like they offered sacrifices in the Old Testament to draw nigh? We can do certain things ritualistically and feel good about it, or feel that, okay, I've done my due. But God requires more than that. His obedience requires a purity of life. Listen at this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. His word bears out the truth of itself, and it is sure, it is firm, and it makes wise those who would reject his word or who have a lack of understanding about the things that's going on in this world. Satan would cloud your mind to feel that we're okay just because we read his word. I'm not saying that we shouldn't read his word just because we might pray from time to time, but there's more to it. God requires our whole heart, saints. Are we really going to draw nigh? The next verse is somewhat a reiteration of the things that we look at or that we've seen before. What does it say? The statutes. We can still talk about the law. We can talk about the mandates coming from the authoritative God who is judge. The statutes of the Lord are right. There is nothing tainted in them. You see, when we begin to rationalize without having a heart that is bathed in the word of God, that's going to continue to think, what is it that God would have of me? How is it that he would have me think, speak? Where is it that he would have me go, whether there are people around or not? Am I true before God? Am I naked before God? He knows. The statutes of the Lord are right. They're firm, and it rejoices the heart. I need to go back to this here, the statutes. I think, did I skip? No, the statutes of the Lord are right. We'll think sometimes and try to justify what we think is right. And any time that we find that we do that, speaking to myself here, we are probably prone to sin because it is not within this carnal flesh to want to obey God. See, Satan will cause us to want to trust in our feelings or what we've maybe heard someone else say. But we have to hold on to the word of God. Listen, when we realize that the way we think is not the ways of God, because the Bible tells us there is a way that seems right unto a man, or all the ways of a man seems right to himself. If we're not looking in the holy word of God, then I say we're prone to err. And then we have that thing called guilt because we've learned the scriptures, because we know the scriptures and know what God has said is right in his word. not lying one to another, treating one another with respect as if we want to be treated ourselves. We've gone through much of the scripture, holding our hands up to our ears and rejecting what God's word has told us, neglecting to spend time in his word and let him change our conduct. That's wrong. But when we continue to think on his word, that's righteous and just. What is the reward from this? It rejoices the heart. You see, when Adam sinned, and this is something that we all know, there was a rupture in the creation that was perfect that he made. We suffer that today. We endure that today because we have a propensity to sin. There is an enjoyment, a fleeting enjoyment in doing what we want to do, but we have to lean toward the light and forsake the desires of the flesh so that our heart can rejoice in the Creator who's made us. Listen, it rejoices the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes, so that we will not remain foolish, simple-minded, or ignorant. We must remain in God's word. He will give us his holy guidance. The Bible tells us that the word of God is like a light, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When we want to lean the other way, as it seems that when the sun would go down, the plant would just lean down, we must hold on to the word of God if we're to be sincere before God. Coming before God to be pure, he knows all things. For the one who does not know God, for the one who would lay his word down and entertain his own thoughts and reject God's word, then we have the lack of fear. The one who does not know God knows not how to properly fear God. David knew how to fear God because he knew God. Listen at what the ninth verse says here. The fear of the Lord is clean. This fear speaks of a terror because of the Almighty has power to destroy. The Almighty God has power to create, I say, and to destroy. The Bible says that we are the sheep of his pasture, and we are to understand that the sheep has one who is to direct him. We are to fear God with reverence and awe, and to know that he is terrible. He will judge his creation. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's pure, and it's not to be mixed with any man's interpretation of what the scripture is. Listen, when one, the fear of the Lord is clean, and he endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Nothing can be found that is wrong or corrupt about God's word. If we are to grow, if we're truly going to draw near to God, he wants us to continually be cleansed daily. We've talked about burnt sacrifices as we've gone through the book of Leviticus. For those of you who might be inclined to listen tonight, check out Leviticus from the podcast, and we'll see that God would have this burnt sacrifice. There was one to be offered in the evening. There was one to be offered in the morning, and it talked about a total dedication and sacrifice. The scriptures tell us today that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, we may listen to the scriptures. We may read the scriptures, but what about the truthfulness of our heart when it's just us and God and the things that we're thinking? Has he given us strength to conform to his word? Are we leaning toward the light and the truth? Listen, the Bible says here that in reference to the scriptures, in reference to the law, in reference to the statutes, they are to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honey and also than the honeycomb. David here says that we should get to the point where we love God's word so much that we will esteem it more than any gold that's been tested and purified, where man has placed a certain value on it. Say, Gary, we've gone through this before. Listen to what we're talking about. Seeking truth. Have you noticed that the teachings, maybe not necessarily from me, but some of the teachings that we're getting, it's looking to bring us up in our understanding so that we can have a better view
view of what the whole of Scripture is looking for us, so that when we talk to those who don't know God, we can offer them some meat, so that we can grow up from whence we came with having just a surface understanding of Scripture. God is calling for us to be pure. Why? Because this world is continually getting more wicked and more wicked, and Satan has blinded the eyes of the people so that they will not listen for truth. But we're getting the essence and the purity of God's word, and it should not be just so we hear it, but God wants us to grow. We can't grow if we have things in our heart that's keeping us from him. So we want to observe the Sabbath? Great. So we read God's word? Great. But he's calling for conformity to his will. To comply to his will, that his word shake us up, that his word cut us a little bit. To what surgeon would you go to with cancer and say, just let the cancer stay, and he wants to pull it out? There are things that he wants us to lay aside. He's asking for us to mature, saints. If we're really sincere before God, and not hiding things, he'll help us grow. I'm not talking about numbers. I am not talking about numbers. I'm talking about a sincerity of heart before God. You see, back when we look in the Scriptures, Adam and Eve, they had everything that they needed. But when they disobeyed God, it brought shame to them. When we have the Scriptures and we lean toward the truth, we don't have to be ashamed. There is an accuser who wants to accuse us, and he helps us to see things. But when we walk outside of God's will, don't you know that we don't always want to come before him? The purity of coming before God as a burnt sacrifice and his word purifying us, just like the coal that went and burnt, Isaiah's lips. I can't do this for you, Lord, because I'm a man of unclean lips. The lips represent what comes from the heart. Saints, as we continue to bathe in God's word, let us truly draw nigh unto him. Being sincere before God and desiring his word. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they tried to cover it up. That we can cover up a little bit before one another, but we can't cover up before God. There's great judgment for those of us who go through God's word, and then we walk around as if we haven't understood. We walk around as if, well, I got my robe on, I got my shirt on, I got my tie on. I'm speaking proverbially here. But because people can't necessarily see inside my heart, God knows, and we must be sincere. When God went before Adam, Adam should have said, you are right, God, instead of blaming it on somebody. God wants us to be true before him. And if there's things in our life that he wants us to get right, and he continues to tell us, let's get it right. How are things in our homes? How are things on our jobs? How are things even when we drive? Is there bitterness? Is there lying? Is there deceit? Is there holding on to some desire of the flesh? God's not pleased. To be sincere before God. This may be abrupt, but I'm going to move. There's other verses here that I think are wonderful for us to look at, but I want to go to James now. I'm going to James, the first chapter. I want to look at the 14th verse from this first chapter, and we're going to just go down a little bit and just talk and understand where I'm coming from. This message is one to make us think. When I say this, it's not that I think anybody's hiding anything, but this is one to make us think. James 1:14 is talking about the heart of man, and I say, when we come before God, we got to be sincere. In other words, God's looked at the heart of those who say they love him. He looks at the heart of everybody, actually. In other words, our mouth may say one thing. It's going to be the heart that dictates our conduct, what it is that we say when there's nobody else around, what it is that we think, and we continue either to entertain or do. Listen to what it says here. But every man is tempted.
tested. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own heart. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. James here, brother of Jesus, is saying something about the heart of man. He said there's some things that the heart can entertain. And previous verses, he was treating the fact that sometimes people say God is testing me, or this comes from God, and so it's like it was almost as if it were an excuse to be able to say it, and then wanted to blame God. James says this is not so. If it's true that we really want to be sincere before God, and we're not experiencing growth spiritually, that we're not gaining power, because we can gain a knowledge, but there is a knowledge, but we need to have a power with that knowledge, because of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. He's equipped us, saints, to be able to live lives that shows a growth. I'm not saying that everything is going to be be victorious in all things, but there should be a maturity. Lord have mercy. James is saying here, if there's some things that's in our heart, it's not God's fault. There's some things that need to be rooted out. What did we just read when we were looking in the Psalms? It was talking about the law of the Lord that was perfect. It was talking about the law of the Lord that was sure. So if there's issues in any of our hearts that keeps us from growing, that keeps us from really drawing nigh to him as he prescribes, not what Tim prescribes, not what Ann prescribes, not what I may prescribe, but what God prescribes, it's for our good. It's for our growth. But the heart is desperately wicked, and sometimes we think we know our own hearts, and we end up deceiving ourselves, thinking that we're leaning toward the light, but we're not. God is looking for our whole heart. Every man, when he begins to feel like he is right and justified in his own way of thinking, because when Adam sinned, we find that there's this propensity in our flesh to not want to obey God. We will lean toward the flesh. It says here that he is dragged away, as if someone who is hunting and is dragging an animal away. The propensity of the flesh, when not remaining in God's statutes, is drawn away by this natural thing that's inside the heart. We don't know how wicked our hearts is, and God is trying to get us to know that. David says, stay in the word of God, incline yourself unto righteousness and the light. Lord have mercy. We can be enticed if we don't have God's spirit and his word as our parameter. David said it rejoices the heart, that guilt that sometimes will keep us from drawing nigh to God is not there. We can have the pureness that only comes through God's word. Isn't it wonderful when we know that we've been in God's word and that we're seeking to please him? Who cares what the neighbors are saying? Who cares what the family's saying? You think you're holier than that. Be holy, because they have no heaven or hell to put us in. What is it that tempts us today? What is it that tempts us today? What is it that would hide the light of God from our face? What is it that keeps us from obeying God's word? What is it that will help us to forget that God's word is right, that he is judge? What is it that will keep us from him? It's a heart that will help us to think that sometimes we've already arrived. Listen at this. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Walking outside of the will of God is not life. Listen at what he says. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's speaking to the fact that people were wanting to say that God had tested them with evil.
tells them that this is not so. But what God gives is good. Our heart will cause us to want to speak evil of God, or to rationalize that certain things are okay, or to forget about the truth that's found in God's word. Do we really want to draw nigh to him? This is about being sincere before God. Listen at what it says. Of his own will, speaking of God, begat he us with the word of truth. Here's the word again. We say seeking the truth ministry. Are we seeking the truth? Better yet, are we seeking to live by and to do the truth of God's own will, because he knew that this world would walk away from what he had established, a correct order. He said, I'll set up a way that you can come back and be in my graces, that you can be restored. Those who will be restored in Christ must be born again. Do we cherish this? Do we cherish what God has done for us? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, Tim has talked a little bit about first fruit, and we've talked about grain offerings and different types of offering, and the Hebrews would come before God, and they would be thankful for what he would allow for them. So there were certain crops that would be given, or that would, let's say, they would have a harvest at a certain time, and God's like, this is mine. I want you to understand that this is my land, you are my people, and you give me the first. Well, when we've been begotten of God, our bodies are to be living sacrifices, that we cannot retain any part of our hearts for ourselves and feel that God is just going to say, okay. We cannot do that. If we don't want guilt in our hearts, and if we truly want to be sincere before him, we have to be wide open and honest. Unlike that which Adam and Eve did, they sewed leaves together and they put them over themselves to cover themselves. Why? Because of wickedness. Saints, seeking truth, if we're really going to grow and we're getting such good lessons, we're getting such good messages, we can show forth the light of Christ by this truth that resides and is inside of us. And the world might not understand, but we can give it. It's a drink of water for this dying world. Lord, have mercy. Being true before God, says, I own you now. I've birthed you. I've given you a new heart. I've given you a new spirit that you should lean toward me. But Satan will come and he will want to cause you to forget about, let go of, reject my words and my precepts. This should not be. Listen at this. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So how does that come into play? Oh, I skipped. Let me go back here. I don't want to skip. I'm just looking at a few more verses here. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, when I first read it, it's like, how can I make this make sense with what I believe I should talk about tonight and being sincere before God? Sometimes we talk too much, and maybe it's not even to others. Maybe sometimes we talk too much for ourselves, and we begin to think that we're right by squeezing out the truth. There's the cares of this world that will choke out the truth. But if we can be silent and listen and remember the things that we've read, remember this precious teaching that we're getting in God's word, then we can remember and hear. Hear with the heart, with the mind, ready to obey, for it will keep us. Listen, sometimes there's bitterness in the heart, and we want to react to that. Sometimes we have so many words that even can quote scriptures, but we're not listening to God's word. We're not leaning towards the light. Are we sincere before God? If there's things, bitterness in the heart, then we're not sincere before God. We can tell God that is there and ask him to remove it. He can do it. He's powerful enough. He raised Jesus from the dead. What is it that will keep us leaning to darkness as opposed to God? What is it that will help us or keep us from drawing near to God? What is it that will keep us from knowing what the truth is? It's a heart that's not inclined fully, holy to his word. We can't afford to just trust our own selves. Listen at what it says. I'm going on. to the 21st and the 22nd verse. Listen at what it says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The Bible says here, lay aside all moral corruption and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive. This is weird to take in. It goes back to the word. His teachings, his statutes, his doctrine. Receive the engrafted word of God upon our hearts. It should be written on our hearts and minds so that when things come upon us, we have a guide, and it is a light, a lamp unto our feet, the God's word is, and a light unto our path. Yes, it is. Why? Because it's able to save our souls. This next verse calls us to be doers of the word. Because we're silent and not just so busy that we can't hear, we're just speaking so much and ruling out God's word, even with our own feelings. We can hear God, and we know that the power and the strength is there, and we can be obedient. Receive the engrafted word. This is a command. Obedience to God's word will save our souls. Not inclining to God's word, there's death in that. What is it about this world? What is it about Satan that causes him to influence us so? Well, because of that natural inclination. But being born again and being bathed in the scriptures, we don't want the things of this world. To have a distaste for the things of this world is pleasing to God. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It converts the soul and will save us from a world that is dying. David always asked God that he would keep him, that he would save him, deliver him from the wicked one. That was from the physical man, his enemies, but it was also, he said, keep me from presumptuous sin. There's some things about the heart that if we don't stay involved and wrapped up and in his holy word, we'll be inclined to turn the other way. I just want to look at another passage of scripture here. I'm looking at Luke. Now, skipping a little bit because I'm going to bring this to a close. In Luke, we understand that there's a passage where there was a woman who had an issue of blood. In the Bible, we know the story. It talks about how this woman for 12 years sought for healing. This is Luke, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read the 43rd verse. We'll try to tie this together because we're going to look at the passion and the drive with which she leaned toward healing. I don't mean just healing by, you know, heal me of this, heal me of that. No, the true healing of the physician and what he could do in her life. Instead of what it says right here in the 43rd verse, it says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her life living, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, speaking of Christ, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched, I don't know how you pronounce it. This woman had a problem in her life, and for 12 years, she sought to be cured. And we say we want to draw nigh to God, and God will show us what's wrong. She did not give up. She continued to press on. And we say we want to observe the Sabbath. We want to be dedicated. Well, say that God wants us to be dedicated. There'll be times when we're tired, and I'm speaking even of myself, but we can't let tiredness choke out what God is looking for. This woman didn't let the fact that she had spent all her money stop the fact that when Christ the King was in her midst, like, I'm going. I will exert more because the truth is in my midst. She sought the word that was made flesh and that was dwelling in her midst, and she went for it. She desired it more than much fine gold. She desired truth. She went after Jesus. How are you and I pursuing truth? Are we truly like a burnt offering? Are we dedicated? We can ask God that he will help us. He knows when we're spent. He knows when we're tired, but he knows also other things in our heart. If we put it before him, we can impede growth. Listen at this. I'm going to read just a few more verses. You don't mind? If you do mind, I'm going to read them anyway. This message, I believe, is to help us think. Again, of this woman, it says, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched, and she was cured. Listen, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and says, thou who touched me? Peter spoke to Christ as if, like, this is a silly question, Master. I mean, I've seen miracles that you've done, but really, really, Jesus? Lots of people here. This question is absurd. But the thing is, God knows when we're really inclined toward his truth. He knows when we're drawing nigh to him, and he knows when we're sincere or not. Listen at what Jesus says after Peter says this here. And Jesus said, somebody had touched me. I'm coming from this 46th verse. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Power left his body. Not that he was exhausted, for you cannot exhaust the truth. And we cannot exhaust the scriptures. But there was ready enough power for this lady, as well as anybody else, who would have pursued after the knowledge that was found in the living word and the walking word, to be found in Jesus Christ. Virtue was gone out. He changed an infirmity inside this woman because she sought after it, seeking truth. There may be some things in our lives where God is telling us, you know, I want you to grow here and I want you to do this, or you need to let this go. The virtue is there. His power is there. How are we leaning if we really want to be sincere before him? If God has laid through his scripture something in our hearts, then we need to really seek it. He's not going to force it upon us. 12 years gone by, and she esteemed being in his presence to touch him. Will we touch Christ? Will we touch God through his word? I say he's got enough strength and power for all of us. For you see, when I thought about sometimes, this is not going to be maybe the smoothest transition, when Christ fed the people and there was enough left over, he said, take up these baskets. Let us know that he's got enough for everybody. You can't exhaust it. How are we before God? Do we really want to be sincere? It's the heart that we think we know, but we truly don't. But the scriptures will open up and show us, you're not right here. You're not loving me as you should right here. I want you to be naked before me so that I can give you power to grow and mature just a little bit more, so I can help you grow and grow more, so that you can help your family, so that you can help people on your job, so that you can have a life that is without guilt. I will cure you of this thing called sin. Not that everything is going to be right per se, but that you will continue to lean toward me and I'll give you strength. How are we leaning toward God? It's the heart that will deceive us. Saints, let's continue to lean toward the light that is found in God's word, and as David sought it, and as David would show us through his scripture, that is right, it's pure, and we can't afford to let it go. It should be esteemed. And just like the plant that I talked about before, I'm getting ready to close out here. When the sun went down, the plant just leaned down, and I would turn it toward the sink. Sun went back up. Light that would give that strength, that would give that direction. The plant leaning toward the sun. Let's find ourselves ever leaning toward the truth that is found in God's word, and not let it just be that I've done what I need to do. Yes, it's a part of it, but opening our hearts before God. Father in heaven, I ask that you continue to help us grow. I ask that you help us that when we are not together, whether corporately or whether it's on the conference line, that we'll think about your holy and righteous scripture and see that and understand that you've given us truth, you've given us power, and you want us to draw near, that we can be people of power, your people, your children, so that the world can marvel at this thing that we have, this Holy Spirit, this righteousness, this purity, this power, that they can be confounded and long for what we have, because all other things of this world crumble, the doctrines, the idolatry, the lifting up oneself in his or her own emotions, rationalizing, is going to pass away. But your word endures, it endures, it endures forever. Cleanse us, Father, from secret faults and give us strength to walk straight forward, ever lifting up our hands, hearts, and minds to you to be obedient to what you show and give us in your holy word. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. We are now opened up for discussion, questions, thoughts, and hopefully we've said something tonight that will help us think and want to be even more true and sincere before God. We're now opened up.